This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning, spooky Sunday morning. Jason Laidler here with the very spooky Ted Walsh. And because we're in studio, the not-so-spooky, lovely Debbie Stanley is joining us as well this week. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Spooky because Halloween's a couple of days away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You see the big smile on Kelly's face. Kelly's got a black cat, right?
Oh,
and the black cat just she's been posting pictures on Facebook every day with her cat.
Did Kelly bring her black cat into the studio?
No, she didn't. The cat's sitting at home getting ready, man. Getting working out, getting ready for Halloween.
I love black cats. Getting they're my favorite.
To steal some souls.
It's day, man. That's it's day. I found something really interesting. There is a company that put together, why, I don't know, but they did, a Bonus Finder Canada, they're called. The most haunted provinces in Canada.
Ah.
What do you think would be the most haunted province in Canada?
I was going to make a joke.
What do you think, Deb?
I want to say PEI.
No.
It's got the spooky ocean.
Nope.
What is it, Ted?
It's Saskatchewan.
Oh, I would not have guessed that.
No, it's Saskatchewan.
I don't know if I've ever been in Saskatchewan.
I have not, no. Yeah. So why is it the most spooky place?
Well, there's a number of different things. Total number of cemeteries, memorials, haunted locations, total number of ghost towns, communities, percentage of abandoned properties, total number of spider species. And they put all these things together into one big bowl and they mix it up like into a cauldron. And that's how they come out with the scariest. Newfoundland, Labrador, second at 6.1. Nova Scotia at 5.8. No, not Nova Scotia at 6.1. I'm sorry. Newfoundland and Labrador at 7. And then Manitoba, Yukon, New Brunswick, Alberta. Ontario's 8th. We're not a very scary province at all.
Well, I guess that depends on where in the province you live and or if you have to drive in GTA traffic.
And if you have to pay probate tax, that's pretty scary.
Well done. Good for you.
Yes.
Give the lady a raise.
Exactly.
Getting back to the black cat thing, though, I got to tell you a quick story about that. A friend of mine has one as well, and she rescued it. And so she was saying that it was only because of it was early in the calendar year that they let her take it. They said if it was closer to October, they don't let the cats go. They don't let the black cats get rescued.
Really?
Yeah, because for obvious reasons, people will just... use them for a night or two and throw them back on the street or something.
Really?
Yeah. You can't rescue a black cat from the SPCA after, like, August or something. Something like that.
Well, they have to keep the animals safe. I mean, that's so strange that that's a thing.
I didn't know, but apparently it's a thing.
Which is kind of silly when you think about it. I mean, how about if it's your kid's birthday and you want to give your kid a birthday gift and your kid's birthday is October 15th?
You get an orange cat.
Those are cute, too.
Ted's cat's cute. It's not black. It's, what do you call that?
It's a tabby.
Tabby, that's what
it
is.
It's a mixture.
Now, none of us are in costume? I wore a black shirt, but we should have coordinated.
Yeah, we should have got our act together a little better. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show.
I haven't worn a Halloween costume in I can't remember how many years.
I have one. I just bought it. In fact, it's due to be delivered today.
I remember years ago, my brother threw a Halloween party, and somebody came in dressed as Marge Simpson.
Cool.
With the whole big hair.
The big hair,
the big
too.
Blue hair. And she didn't speak. And for an hour, everybody sat around going, who is that? Nobody knew who it was, because she wouldn't speak. sat there totally, you know, covered up in her costume, because it had a headpiece on it, right? So she didn't speak. Nobody knew who it was.
Do you get a lot of trick-or-treaters at your place?
We do. We are one of the streets at the end of the neighborhood, so we really only get trick-or-treaters who are starting from our street. It's very busy at the beginning and then pretty much quiet for the rest of the night.
Nothing.
No, I know. You're a busy street. That'd be crazy. It's a busy place where you are, too.
Busy street, and I'm next to a GO station, so not a lot of people giving out candy in a GO parking lot.
Well, I don't know yet what to expect. It's my first Halloween in this location, so we'll see. In beautiful downtown Beaverton. Can't be that busy, can it?
You never know.
You never know. All right, well, we got a great show. We are, all, like I said, we're all in studio today, which is fun. We do have a special guest as well. We got lots going on. What's going on here today, Ted?
And the timing for their special guest is excellent because his name is Jerome Trail. He runs a company called The Mortgage Trail. He's a mortgage broker, but he deals with all kinds of different aspects of mortgages and lending in terms of home equity and reverse mortgages, etc. And it's very fitting because, of course, just a few days ago, the Bank of Canada decided to freeze the interest rates, which is good.
I was going to say, but that came as a relief to a lot of people.
With the caveat that we may re-increase it come December.
It goes without saying, right? They don't even have to say that. We know that they've got the discretion to do what they think they need to do.
Yeah, and some people believe that they say that because they want to slow down spending so that inflation comes down, because we're still at like 3.5%. But I'll be interested to ask Jerome what his thoughts are on this, whether he expected it, and how he thinks this is going to affect, because it affects not only just people who buy houses, it's people who are buying cars, it's
groceries, with everything.
Exactly.
For sure, savings. Yeah. You know, yeah. And so what was it, 10 increases, 10 consecutive increases, I think, in the last year or something like that?
Yes. It's been painful.
It's been intense.
Even as a business owner, businesses rely on loans.
Yep.
Well, we don't want to steal Jerome's thunder, so we'll leave that. What else we got going on this morning?
Well, Ms. Stanley here from ETP Canada. We'll see if she's continuing at a rapid pace.
Because just so the listener knows, she never tells us in advance, you know, when we prep for the show, and believe me, we do a little bit of prep for the show sometimes, and she just keeps her cards close to her chest and won't give us any tips as to whether there's, you know, a juicy tidbit in the update on the probate file or not. We have to wait, just like you do. So we're waiting on tenterhooks. Is that it? Tenterhooks? Is that the right term?
I believe so.
Tenterhooks. I have never heard that term.
I used to
before.
Think it was tender, but it's not tender. It's tenter with a T, right? And, of course, we have a mailbag. Hoping to get to the mailbag. It's going to depend on how things flow here with our special guest. When we have a special guest, we want to take advantage of that person's expertise as much as we can. So we'll see if we get to the mailbag. And if not, we'll certainly pick that up next week. All right, that said, you got a few minutes or less to top up your tea and coffee. We're going to take our first break of the morning, and we'll be right back with the update right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And a good morning. Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show. And the information we provide in this program is for general consumption only. It is not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, so if you have a legal or investment question, or several for that matter, you should speak with a licensed expert. And we keep picking up more and more of those licensed experts as every week goes by. And for information and access to them, you can access us. Email is info@avoidprobate.ca. Void probate is one word. info@avoidprobate.ca, or telephone, it's a toll-free call, 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. It's time once again, ladies and gentlemen, to turn to our friend Debbie Stanley from BTP Canada and the latest episode of Solving the Probate Puzzle. And I believe this is week 21.
21 weeks already.
21 weeks, but remember you did start a couple weeks before we did here.
Yes.
So it's 22 or 23 or 24 weeks altogether.
Wow, that has really flown by when you put it in that.
When you're in Greece for a month? Yeah. Look at this, she's still got a tan.
She's still in my tan.
Yeah, that's right.
I have that Greek glow.
Yes, that's right. So Roxy Moo, that's the name of this file.
Yes.
And Debbie's acting as the executor on this particular file, unlike last time with Mr. Chips. So it's a little different, a little bit of a different experience, bit of a different report, which I think is great, especially for the benefit of our listeners. So what's happening? Tell us. We've all been waiting.
Okay. So last week I had let you know that we sold the home, mm-hmm. the condo, and we'll be closing in about 2 weeks from now. So fantastic.
Okay. So was it a 30-day close?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And we were able to do that because we had our certificate of appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The key there was being able to accept an offer with a short closing date, which is great for the estate. It does not incur more expenses. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of great for the estate, let's just comment quickly. Fair market value, right? It wasn't like a fire sale because it was a deceased person or anything like that.
Nope.
You got the best price you could get for the benefit of the beneficiaries.
Exactly. We actually sold it for more than we...
Asking?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. So that was great. And actually slightly higher than the fair market value on death.
Okay, that's a great point. So now there's taxes to report.
Correct.
That are not part of the terminal return.
Yes, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Let's do that. Don't confuse the listeners too much. It's complicated stuff, but yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, do we have to do this in 10 words or less, though?
No, I said 20. Give me a break. I gave you 20 words.
Why does he always do that, 20 words or less?
I don't know.
He must have been a game show host in the 20s.
Because we're on a radio show here. We got limited time, that's why.
Fair enough.
Okay. So if fair market price, let's say it was $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you were taxed at $1 million and probate was set at $1 million,
yep.
based on $1 million, but you sold for $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you now owe more on probate, right?
No, not on probate. So this is where it's a common misconception. So probate value is date of death value, not the day before and not the day after. The government only cares about date of death value. So the probate tax, or otherwise known as the estate administration tax, is based off that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where it gets interesting, or at least for me. When we pass away, the government says, okay, you cannot take your things with you. So this means that you, quite honestly, you sell your assets to your estate for fair market value. So that $1 million home now has been sold and handed over to your estate, who becomes a taxpayer in itself. An estate pays taxes just like you, me, and myself.
Let me clarify something here, because it does sound like we're contradicting ourselves here. Debbie's talking about the government pretending we sold everything the minute before we passed, but then a minute ago we said you can't sell
Correct.
The condo until it's probated.
Like a proverbial.
So it's a notional sale. When she talks about selling everything the minute before you pass away, you don't really.
No, no. And that's a great clarification.
Yeah.
You are imaginary selling your home, your $1 million home, pretend selling to your estate.
Right.
So the estate has now pretend purchased the home, this $1 million home. And when you sell it, actually sell it for that $1.2 million, as you mentioned, Ted, the estate now has to pay tax on the difference on what it purchased it for, the pretend purchase of $1 million, and the actual sale price of $1.2 million.
Yeah, because Roxy Moo didn't make the $200K profit. The estate did.
The estate did, and the estate can't live in the house. So that's the reason, right? We have a primary residence because you're actually living there. The estate is not, it's just paperwork, so it's not living in the home.
Yeah.
So that difference, that $200,000, would be considered a capital gain.
Right.
And I've never thought of it like that before, but it wouldn't be fair to tax Roxy Moo in this case, or whoever the deceased person is. It wouldn't be fair to tax that person because, like I said, they didn't earn the gain.
Right.
Right. So that just it's not fair to tax somebody on gains they didn't earn.
Correct.
So instead, we're taxing the estate, which means, jumping ahead a little bit, that's a whole other set of tax returns.
Correct.
That need to be completed by a certain date.
Correct. So that's probably the biggest misconception I do see with families. They think that they have to amend the probate application. But again, what we do have to remember, it's date of death value. And then everything after that is income tax related.
Yep. The values do get amended because in the beginning, you're making assumptions when you submit the application.
Correct.
To the court for probate. Then you do your homework and, mm-hmm. and uncover this asset, that asset, this insurance policy, things you didn't know, or finally get correspondence or verification from the financial institution. You actually get the balance of the account
right.
that you've been fighting for 6 months because they didn't respond to your emails or whatever.
Yes.
Right, so you actually get the right numbers. So there are adjustments that get made.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. There are adjustments. Certain things will be adjusted, but other things are not adjusted. So bank account balances, it is what it is on that day.
That's right, yep.
If you got an appraisal for a home, it is what it is yep. that day. If you think of it like gold prices, it's specific to that day or a stock price.
Yeah.
So you need to ensure that you're trying to get as close to date of death value as possible. But then remember what you actually sell things for in the estate could be subject to some capital gains.
Yeah, and that's not all bad.
No. I mean, you're earning more, so that's...
I'm always surprised when people were helping out or they got a bad taste in their mouth for capital gains. They're like, yeah, but that's going to create some capital gains for me. I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing.
Yep, and there's ways to wipe that out, and I know this isn't a tax segment, but maybe there's a charitable donation within the estate. Maybe
sure.
there's other things. So it's not all bad. You're absolutely right. It's not a bad tax.
Just
to
curious,
have to pay.
Logistically at ETP Canada, you're not doing those terminal returns, right? You're not doing those tax returns.
No, we work with CPAs who have estates. Actually,
yeah.
they're specialists in estates. We will not do them. I left that behind me years and years and
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, I know
ago.
You did it at one
yeah.
time, right? And that's how you evolved into the role you're in today, right?
Yes. Yes. I used to cry before tax season, so I've decided not to do taxes anymore.
I cry right through tax season.
Yeah, I do that now too. But what I did actually want to update, and do we have a short
sure.
amount of time? Okay.
20 words or less.
20 words or less. A fun little fact for listeners out there that may have art. Here's something that I learned, and it's a word called provenance.
Yep.
And I thought our
the
art...
Proof.
I thought our art appraiser was just being fancy when she kept saying, it doesn't have provenance. And I thought, what is this? It's proof, but it's not just a certificate.
No, it could be anything.
It has to be a receipt of the purchase.
No, it doesn't.
It's recommended. So what we discovered was that you can have a very lovely art piece.
A Fabergé egg.
Whatever it is, but without provenance...
Yeah.
You will not have interested buyers because they can't then in turn sell it for a good price.
Right.
So the art world is all based off of this. So if we have listeners out there, and I come across art quite often, and quite often you can't find the provenance, the receipt, the certificate, mm-hmm. the proof.
Mm-hmm.
And these pieces end up selling for much lower than they could have. We had a wonderful piece. I was quite excited about it. And I can't say what it is because that would disclose, mm-hmm. you know, but gorgeous thing. And I was so excited to see what it would sell for, but there was no provenance. And it is not selling for very much because no one.
But had there been, were you able to find out, had there been provenance, what it would have
yes.
been, like roughly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking
about
like thousands of difference because
yeah.
the buyer then in turn wouldn't be able to sell it
yeah.
and make money. So again, listeners out there, please, the recommendation that came from our art appraiser was to literally tape your receipt and certificate to the back of the painting or art or
yeah.
underneath.
Certificate,
so.
I totally agree. The receipt, I don't put a lot of stock in that, frankly, because I could buy it from you for X number of dollars because I believe you that it's original. Just because I paid that much for it, that receipt, and if it's fake, you know, the receipt doesn't override the fact that it's actually fake.
Oh, no. The receipt just helps, I guess, understand that it wasn't stolen or
sure.
that it was purchased through the right channels because there's a lot of fakes out there and even certificates can be forged.
Yep,
so it's
yep.
if you can just track where things came from because they will actually look and try and see through auction houses where things, how it went
mm-hmm.
and whose hands these pieces have been in, especially when we're talking about quite interesting pieces.
See, Ted, I told you that Picasso you got on the wall is going to get probated.
Mm. But it's an Ernie Picasso.
Okay. You say the same first name every time. You know that, right?
Because if it's Ernie's a good name.
Because like, he's a buddy of yours.
I don't have any. Yeah, I do have a friend named Ernie. I shouldn't say that. I do. Actually, I do.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Great update. We good?
Yes, we are good.
All right, let's since we're good, let's wrap that up for this segment of the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning. We are going to come right back with...
Well, before we do that, we're going to find out how people can get
yes,
in.
Yes, of course. Thank
yes.
you.
Can reach out and touch someone helpful, such as Debbie.
Okay, well, you can reach us on our website, which is www.etpcanada.ca. Our phone number is 866-309-0387. Our email is info@etpcanada. And if you'd like to take a course and learn about being an executor, you can find that at executorready.ca.
Excellent. You have a good week.
You too.
And enjoy Halloween.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
You're going to stick around for
yes.
us. All right. Debbie has provenance, by the way. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
This is the Avoid Probate Show, and as usual, we invite your calls and your emails with questions and comments, and we get back to every one of them as soon as possible. You can get to us by email info@avoidprobate.ca or call toll-free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. And while you're at it, drop by our website, www.avoidprobate.ca. There you'll find a free probate calculator. You can play with that, get an idea how much probate might be payable on your estate. And you can also listen back on some of our previous programs via podcast. They're all available for you. Thrilled to welcome a brand new guest, a special guest, and a member of the team. His name is Jerome Trail. He is a mortgage broker and the founder of The Mortgage Trail. He helps brokers that need assistance in buying their first home, a vacation property, arranging an equity line of credit, lining up construction financing, and in 2015 became a certified reverse mortgage specialist. And we're going to talk about that and all kinds of other things. Jerome, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Jerome.
I'm great. Thanks very much.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and a couple of days ago, on Wednesday afternoon, the Bank of Canada announced that they were going to freeze the interest rate. Did you expect it? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Most importantly, our clients were looking for some stability. So the fact that it's not continuing to increase, well, it has to be viewed as a positive. We've endured a lot over the last year and a half. It's gone faster than anyone would have predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, Ted, our borrowers are looking for just some consistency and having things remain in the status quo. So they understand what their costs are. Now they're hoping that inflation will start to come into check as well.
And yet at the same time, they're saying, hey, listen, we're freezing it now, but come December, we make our next announcement. We may unfreeze it. We may add some points to this as well. So with that in mind, if you're in a position right now where your mortgage is up, what do you do? Do you go to a long-term, short-term, variable? What would be your suggestion?
Within the last few months, we've started to explain to borrowers what our takeaway should be during this period of chaos. Not sure how else to describe it. People should be managing their monthly expenditures based on their cash flow. So with that in mind, we are recommending people look at a longer-term fixed-rate mortgage. Normally, that's the five-year fixed. And that is what we're recommending clients consider. If they can live with that payment on a monthly basis, then why would they want to risk things? Your house is not something to be gambling with. Nor is that monthly payment. So if it falls in line with your monthly cash flow, just take it on and quit trying to time the market. That's the one thing that we have learned, Ted, trying to time things and try and take advantage of an ultra-low situation. That's a very difficult thing to do, and, well, even the pros have not always been right.
What about a fixed 2 or 3 year?
It's funny, a year and a half ago, we had clients, and they, well, their opinion was they definitely wanted a one-year fixed or a two-year fixed. And here we are. We've come out of some of those, and in fact, the rates are higher. So that's why we are advising people, look, the one thing we have learned is we really can't predict things. We're definitely not anticipating rates to drop down to those incredibly low 2% and 3% rates anytime soon. And it's interesting to note, since 1990, the average interest rate on a mortgage in Canada is just under 6%. So these interest rates that we're dealing with today, they're actually very average in historical terms.
Yeah, Jerome, Jason here. I mean, that makes me think, you know, these individuals, these buyers a couple years ago who were excited because they were getting in at 1.5%. I mean, come on, like nobody was doing these people any favors, right? There's not much more downward potential when you're at 1.5%. And these people are surprised that, you know, their mortgage payment is double what it was 3 years ago. I don't really understand how anybody can be surprised. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but I do want to ask you another question, because you're the mortgage guy. Let's just put it that way. And our clients at avoidprobate.ca, a lot of them are not all of them are mortgage free, but a lot of them are. And when you have a house with a bunch of equity in it, in the GTA, let's say you got a $1 million house and there's a bunch of equity in it, and you need to take some of that equity out so you can stay at home. Aging in place, right? That's the trend. That's what we want to see. People want to stay in their house as long as possible. I know some people are opting for retirement community living options, and there's a growing number of options in that category. But what I'm getting at, getting back to the question, can you talk about the options for that person who does want to tap into some of that equity that they've, you know, worked so hard to build over the years, been in the house for 40 years or whatever the number is, and like I said, there's $1 million there of equity. What are the, besides the mortgage, there's a couple other options. You mentioned, or Ted mentioned off the top, you know, the reverse mortgage is an option. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but a home equity loan is another option still, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So it really begins with the borrower situation or the homeowner situation. We have to have I call it exploratory conversation and dig into the details. Virtually everyone has some level of income, even if it's just CPP and OAS. With that, we can normally qualify for some sort of mortgage financing solution. There are a variety of ways to look at a mortgage. It could be fixed rate mortgage, a variable rate mortgage, a home equity line of credit. A number of people do have pension income, and that can help bolster the income qualifying for a mortgage. Also, there are a number of lenders that offer net worth solutions. So if a client has a little bit of a portfolio, the financial institution, we're able to leverage that allows them to qualify for something that they may not be aware of going into the conversation.
I'm sure they're not. Sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned net worth lender. That's a term I'm not familiar with, but that's kind of where I was going with this, because the banks aren't playing that game anymore, correct? You got to have income to get lending from the bank.
You have to have some income, yes. However, we do have some lenders and banks that offer net worth solutions where it could be a combination. So yes, Jason, you are right. Net worth qualifying has changed a lot over the years, but we do have some very, or as client-friendly lender possible as you can find, that do offer solutions to people that find themselves, okay, I have limited income. I do have X invested with my financial advisor. You know, what options exist for me? But basically, we're looking at mortgage financing solutions. Hence, it's a debt product collateralized by the real property. Whether they're going to make a monthly payment of interest plus principal, or a traditional mortgage payment, interest only, that would be a home equity line of credit, or if it's a mortgage solution where you don't have to service it on a monthly basis, that is what a reverse mortgage is.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I know we've used the term on the show before. We haven't gone too deep about the reverse mortgage, and it's a widely misunderstood term. And by the way, I'm on the record as saying that it gets a bad rap because people don't really understand how it works. And I think in the right situation for the right individual, if it means mom gets to stay in her home and that's what mom wants, then so be it. And I don't see any shame in that. Can you comment on what the reverse mortgage options look like in Canada? Because I think they're a bit different than the U.S.
Well, firstly, I want you to know that reverse mortgages were available for a long time in the U.S. with many, many lenders. So it's a much more common mortgage solution available to Americans. It's a little bit more recent in Canada. There was one major player, Home Equity Bank, and they existed on their own for a long time. There are now several lenders offering reverse mortgages. And to your point, I do agree. If you tick the right boxes, it's an excellent solution for people to age in place. You've got a, let's just call it a million-dollar house. You're living in southern Ontario. You want to stay in that property. Why wouldn't you want to access that equity if it's going to allow you to stay in there for 5, 10, or 25 more years?
Right, but we should point out as well, Jerome, that in order to qualify for a reverse mortgage, you have to be mortgage-free.
Is that true?
That is not true, no. So
there we go.
As part of a, when you look at the overall situation, let's say as an example, someone's carrying a $100,000 traditional mortgage with their bank, and that's that million-dollar house, but they qualify for a $300,000 reverse mortgage. Well, the solution is pretty, it's straightforward. The lawyer registers the reverse mortgage by paying out that existing bank or that existing lender, and they put in place the reverse mortgage with whichever institution it is, and then the borrower does not have to make a monthly payment the way you service a traditional mortgage.
And if I'm not wrong, you've got options, right, with the reverse mortgage. You can take the lump sum, which I think you just alluded to, or a monthly stipend, for lack of a better word, right? You can take two grand a month for life, or you can take 400 grand today, you know, invest it, which is what I would like to see happen, because then you're going to get some growth. You're not going to use the whole 400, well, I'm assuming you're not using the whole 400 grand, you know, this week, right? It's there for the long term, and we can invest some of that money at the insurance company, put beneficiaries on it, of course. That's the solution to avoiding probate, is having those beneficiaries on the non-registered money. That's a good point. We've got to stress, this is non-registered money that we're talking about when you take that money out of the equity out of the home. And so you can't put a beneficiary on it if it's at the normal bank account kind of thing. We solve that problem. You name beneficiaries. And then when you pass, it just pays out to your beneficiaries like all the other non-registered money we've put beneficiaries on. So there was a question there somewhere, I think. Oh, yeah, about taking the lump sum or the monthly amount, right? Those are options. Or is it,
yes,
or both? Maybe even both?
Both options are available. We have an excellent example right now just north of the GTA. Client owns a house. It's in the neighborhood of $1 million. They want to have some money to build out or do a home renovation in the basement for some care. We can easily take that out. The second part of the solution is we're going to set them up with a monthly income stream. So we're calibrating that to how much equity they have available, what size mortgage we can qualify them for, and all of a sudden they freed up about $1,500 of income per month, pretty much for the foreseeable future.
Tax-free.
So yeah, correct. So to answer your question, that is correct. You can take out in a lump sum if, for instance, you want to pay off an existing or incumbent lender, or you could set yourself up to have some sort of an income stream if that's what you're looking for.
Okay, so you can. So I was wrong. So and geez, we've been talking about this for a while, and I thought that in order to qualify for reverse mortgage, you needed to be mortgage free. But essentially, what you're saying is you become mortgage free by buying out the mortgage and then buying into a reverse mortgage, right?
Well, I don't want to mislead people, Ted. They become free of a payment. They still have a mortgage.
Right, right.
And the new mortgage solution is the reverse mortgage. But the unique part of a reverse mortgage, you do not have to make a monthly payment. Or the term we use is you do not have to service that debt. It's paid out when they sell the property or when that person moves from the place.
Can I jump in? I don't want to interrupt you, Jerome. Debbie Stanley here.
Jump in, Debbie.
If the borrower chooses to make some payments, can they, or are there penalties?
Mm, good question.
They definitely have some prepayment ability, and you're able to do that if you want. Mm. In the grander picture, and I might, I might ask someone like Jason to weigh in on this. That's it's kind of counterintuitive. If we're setting up a reverse mortgage so you don't have to make that monthly payment, then let's really not even discuss or worry about making a prepayment. People that want to do that, they haven't fully wrapped their arms around the concept. But anyway, if that's what they want to do, no problem at all.
I can see it happening. I mean, you didn't expect to inherit, you know, from Aunt Betty, and now you got an extra couple hundred grand in your pocket because you were an unexpected beneficiary of somebody's estate. So, I don't know, just a silly example.
Yeah,
maybe
that's what I was thinking. You come into some money and what if? So
leave it to the professional executor to come to the that angle.
Well, I have another question.
Let's hear it.
From my angle.
Go ahead.
So, Jerome, with house prices being what they're like and interest rates, it's tougher for the, I want to say, the millennials and the kids to be buying homes. Do you see an uptick in parents co-signing on mortgages? And if so, what are the impacts or conversations that you're having with the parents about their estate plan because they've co-signed?
That's deep.
Well, timing is everything. This morning I responded or wrote to one of the contributing authors of an article in the Globe, and it had to do with that exact question. So we need to try and educate people. What exactly does co-signing or guaranteeing a mortgage do? It encumbers that co-signor or guarantor person if they're ever looking for other debts or if they ever want to do something. It also is a bit of a hindrance for the person that has them on that file. There's not a whole lot can happen, meaning get them off, if they want to take that property on their own or sell it or something happens in their situation. So there are factors that need to be considered. So to answer your question, Debbie, if you are co-signing or guaranteeing a loan, you are encumbering yourself with that obligation. The second part of your question, I believe, is how are people looking to help their children or grandchildren? They have these assets. It's called the $1 million house. They've got a grandchild who wants to buy a $500,000 starter place in the outskirts of the city or a condo in the 416. They're able to take out a little bit of money in one form or another. Reverse mortgage is a great way. Let's say, for instance, they want to take out $100,000 on a reverse. They gift that to their child or grandchild, and then they would use that as the down payment on their purchase. It's a great way to keep that donor, the giftor, off the deal.
As
Jason can attest to, it's probably a great way of doing it on a tax-free basis.
That's a really good point. Yep, good point. Okay, Jerome, we're going to take a break. Can you stick around for a few minutes? I've got a question for you. Maybe somebody else does as well. But are you able to hang in there for another few minutes when we come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then we'll do that. We'll take a quick break here. We're going to come back with the last segment of the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday, pre-Halloween Sunday morning. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. It is a whole whack of us here in the studio today. It's Ted Wallace and Jason Laidler, Debbie Stanley, and Jerome Trail from
Kelly.
The Mortgage Trail. And Kelly, of course,
with a black cat.
And she's grooming her black cat for Tuesday for Halloween. And by the way, if you'd like to contact us, the usual way and the best way is, well, either way, it's your choice. You can contact us at 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. Or you can send us a an email, info@avoidprobate.ca, with your questions, your comments, or if you'd like to inquire about us doing a roadshow in for your community or for whatever group you belong to, you may do so, and we welcome you to do just that. Jason.
Yep, thanks, Ted. And Debbie Stanley's here. As Ted mentioned, of course, we're all here today, which is great. And we've got a special guest on the phone. He's joining us remotely, Jerome Trail from the Mortgage Trail. I get the play on words there. Well done, Jerome, on the name of the company. I didn't get it at first, so that's why I'm patting myself on the back now. Anyway, we asked you to stick around for a few minutes. You graciously accepted. So I'm going to throw something at you here. I happen to have it in my hand. I know it's old, but I kept it for some reason. Well, I wanted to read it. The August 12th edition of the Toronto Star business section, front page of the business section that Saturday, there's an article titled The Infinity Mortgage. So I thought, well, that might be something worth looking into and talking about with the mortgage guy. My understanding is because of these interest rates, and this is a question for you, you're the expert, you know, we went from 1.5 a few years ago to whatever, 4.5 or 5 today. Your cost, your servicing cost is doubled maybe or more. So instead of, because people can't afford to make that extra payment, the lenders, again, a question for you, the lenders are instead, they're extending the amortization. And so they're really starting to push it out there, 35, 40, 50, 70, or an infinite mortgage. I mean, is that a thing? Do you see that happening? Is that cool? Is it bad?
On an owner-occupied property, Jason, and by the way, this is a great question in today's rate environment. On an owner-occupied property, it's almost a situation where the lender should try and accommodate their borrower in most ways that are possible. Now, an infinity mortgage, I don't know if I'm keen on that. However, it's not too long ago that most lenders were offering 35 and 40-year amortizations, and the government had no problem with it. In recent years, they've been lowering the amortization to 30 years, most recently to 25 years on insured mortgages. Well, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but all of the signs are pointing towards a major or a large number of lenders are going to be forced to increase their amortizations more or less to accommodate their existing customer base. So yes, that is what is happening. If you are in a variable rate mortgage and the lender has declared that that mortgage payment will stay the same during your mortgage term, then yes, you are seeing lenders today offering 35, 40, 45, 50 year amortizations. They are declaring they're going to reset it when that mortgage term expires. And it's interesting to note, in 2025 and 2026, over 50% of Canadians with mortgages are set to renew. That's really going to be critical period.
In a two-year period, is that what you said? In two years, almost half mortgages?
I renew in 2 years.
I renew in a year.
Wow.
So is that a function of the COVID?
I feel like this was a magic trick.
Yeah, so do I. I'm shocked. I'm shocked to hear that.
We can probably all think back to Friday, March 13th. We were all told to go home for a holiday. But not too long after that, interest rates started to drop. And at the time, it seemed to defy logic. The real estate sector took off. So in our sector, the real estate and mortgage industries, we enjoyed a boom period in 2020 and 2021. Hence, all of those five-year fixed-rate mortgages and variable-rate mortgages, well, they're going to mature in 2025 and 2026. So it's like a ticking alarm clock between now and then. Where are rates going to be in approximately 18 months? Because that is when, I think it's around 56% of mortgages are set to mature in that period.
That is shocking.
And with that in mind, we're speaking with Jerome Trail from the Mortgage Trail. And with that in mind, people are going to be desperate, and desperate times call for desperate measures, meaning there are going to be people crawling out of the woodwork offering mortgages. What is the legal limit for somebody to charge you on a mortgage?
It's a great question, Ted. This is a highly regulated industry. There are measures in place. They do limit what people can charge, but also the market itself, there's so much competition. It's not uncommon for alternative lenders to be in the 10 to 12% range. The banks today, for instance, and to give it some context, your typical five-year fix today is quoted around 6.5% with TD and Scotia and all of the six chartered banks. So it's not that much of a stretch to get to 10 to 12% if you have to go a private route. And then we have a wide number of solutions that would be anywhere in between.
Now, you work with some 50 different lenders.
Correct.
What would be the best deal that you could get for somebody right now?
The best deal. You sound like many of the calls we get.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Tet shopping.
I speak on behalf of the common person.
So if, let's say, for instance, you have a property that's worth, I don't know, $600,000. You owe $200,000, and we can income qualify you without too much problem. We could probably line up a five-year fix just below 6%. So in the neighborhood of 5.8 or 5.9%. However, the majority of people, they're buying a new place, particularly in the GTA, it's usually a five-year fix in the 6.5% range.
This will come as no surprise to you, I'm sure, but I know people who have told me the whole time they had a mortgage, 25 years or whatever it was, they never had a single-digit interest rate the whole time they had a mortgage.
Yeah.
So that puts things in perspective. 6%, is that high? I don't know. Debbie?
I wanted to follow up on this concept of the infinity mortgage, and I didn't read the article, but I'm assuming it's a forever type mortgage. Is that correct, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you are qualifying your clients, Jerome, and the amortization rate comes up, is it... You qualify them if I'm 40 years old going for a mortgage, would you give me a 60-year amortization rate, or is it based off my lifespan? And if it's old, more than perhaps my lifespan, are we talking about intergenerational mortgages?
Yeah.
Are we...
Sorry,
now,
I shouldn't speak for Jerome.
No, but... That's my question.
20 words or less, Jerome. 20 words or less.
Yeah, look, I appreciate the question. Today, we do not have infinity mortgages available in Canada. The maximum that I know available for us would be with a 40-year amortization. Talking about, I don't know what you want to call it, life expectancy. So the reverse mortgage lenders, they do use actuarial tables that give a probability or predictability on life expectancy.
Okay.
And how long they anticipate that person to occupy that property.
Outdated tables by decades, by the way. Jerome, we're going to cut you off there, I'm afraid. Do us a favor and tell the listeners who want more information and have other questions, how can they best reach you?
Thanks, Jason. We're at www.themortgagetrail.com, or feel free to send us an email. That's info@themortgagetrail.com. Through the week, we're happy to get back to you typically within 4 business hours. You send us a note on the weekend, well, it's a little bit longer than that. But anyway, we'd be happy to help your listeners.
4.5 on the weekend.
appreciate that. Appreciate you being here. We want to have you back for sure. And if listeners can email us as well. If you didn't get Jerome's contact info, you can reach out to avoidprobate.ca. We'll pass it on. Thanks again, Jerome, for joining us. Appreciate that. Very informative stuff. We'll talk again.
Pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, folks.
All right, we are getting close to the end of the hour on the Avoid Probate Show for this Sunday. Ted, you got a podcast coming up?
Got a podcast coming up this week with Jeff Sammet. There's a name for people in Toronto. You'll know he's been around for many, many years. He worked at CFRB, worked at The Fan. He has a daily show on Sirius XM called Canada Now, and he has a fascinating podcast called Remembering with Jeff Sammet, where, for example, he remembers people who have passed or historic events, whether they be sporting events or an actual historic event. I guess sporting events can be historic.
Sure.
He has, for example, he's spoken to the widow of John Ritter. He did an interview with Jerry Howard talking about Tom Cheek, and of course this is the 30th anniversary of the Blue Jays winning the second World Series.
Really?
Back-to-back World Series. This
30.
Is the 30th anniversary.
I feel old now.
1993, yes indeed. And he also, he speaks to all kinds of different people, and it's a fascinating concept for a podcast. He's a great guest. I think you'll really enjoy it. You can go by go to my website, www.tedwallison.ca, and you can find that podcast and everything we've done in the last 2+ years.
And yes, Ted, of course, sporting events can be historic events, because when the Argos win the Grey Cup this year,
that's right,
it's going to be historic.
Back to back, brother.
I know. I'm so excited. Anyway, I think that's like the 10th week in a row we've got Argos in there somehow during the hour. It is the Avoid Probate Show, though. Thank you for joining us. If you just joined us this Sunday for the first time, welcome. Hopefully you'll join us again next week. We do it every Sunday morning here on AM 740. This week we had the full studio in-house. Debbie Stanley's here. She gave us the update on Roxy Moo's file, and very interesting about getting the condo sold finally and what that means for, you know, in terms of taxation and all that fun stuff, all that exciting stuff, taxation, right?
Yes, very exciting.
She's excited. You should see the smile on her face. She just loves it. It's great. We got Ted Walsh in here with his decades of radio excellence. And of course, Kelly was taking good care of us on the other side of the glass as usual with her. Well, she didn't really bring the black cat in. Leia, as in princess.
As in Princess Leia.
How old is Leia?
She's a year old. Did you read about the dog that just died, by the way?
I did. 31?
31 years old.
Yeah, oldest dog ever.
Well, does it make him like 220-something in human years?
Can't do that math.
No, anyway.
731s?
That's too much.
Anyway, once again, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Avoid Probate Show. We'll do it again next Sunday, Ted. What do you think?
I certainly hope so.
And remote. We'll not be in the studio, but
we will be on remote, yes. We will be doing it via Zoom.
Happy Halloween. Play safe out there, kids.
Yes.
Right? Make sure mom and dad check your loot bags.
And check their glasses before they go out.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.